Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney. Christy Wowardy Dowardy.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
Susie going toe to Tobin.
Anna,
God, I love that banana.
Anderson.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan the Slayer Taylor. Ava Nagila Weber.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers, Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters. And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
We love you guys. Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on ye old broads. I'm Ronnie. I'm also on the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast podcast, which is currently covering Bachelor in Paradise. And here I am with my gorgeous traveling partner, life partner on the internet, podcast partner, heartner, my heartner and my heart, Mr. Ben Mandelker of the B-Side Blog and the Banta Blender. Hello, Ben.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much, babe. We're doing a nighttime podcast, which is rare for us.
Yeah.
So that's fun. They're usually loopier.
Mm-hmm. Well, you never know where it's going to go. It might get real loopy. You never know.
Yeah.
Talk about those crazy Shaws of Sunsets.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of yapping today, and now we're on to the Shaws. And we're doing that because next week we are traveling. We're going to West Palm, and we're going to do a show there on Thursday night. And it's going to be the Real Housewives of New York reunion part one. So get your asses to West Palm. And then we're going to be Atlanta for two shows on Saturday. Friday or Saturday, babe? Friday, right?
Saturday is our Atlanta show. Friday, we're traveling.
We're doing two shows in Atlanta. Then we're going to do Real Housewives of Dallas for the first show, which is sold out, SARS. And the second show is not sold out. Yay! And that is going to be the very first episode of Real Housewives of Atlanta ever.
And it's going to be your birthday. So,
and
I mean,
my birthday.
Doesn't everyone want to be there in the room to wish Ronnie a happy birthday, to sing happy birthday to him? Don't you want to be part of Ronnie's birthday?
Yeah, I'll cry, talk about my mommy issues. It's going to be great, guys. Talk about all the goals I haven't achieved. It's going to be a super positive night.
Yeah, maybe we'll get a whole bunch of party hats and everyone could put them on. Maybe. Maybe.
But for now. The Shaws of Sunset. Got a lot of girls, got a lot of sex, writing a lot of checks on old Sunsex.
Yeah. You know, that song, that was actually like a real song that was on the radio, and I used to love it. I loved that song. And then Shaws came, and they ruined it for me. I mean, I still like it, but I used to love
that
it.
That song. Yeah, it's always made me nuts. And the opening comes on, and every single time I'm like, what am I watching? Why am I doing this to myself? Got a lot of girls, got a lot of checks. Got a lot of wrecks on here on Sunset. Checks. Shut up, song.
You know, Shaws of Sunset, I've actually always really enjoyed Shaws of Sunset. I think in the past few years, you know, it's been showing some signs of age. They've just sort of been rehashing the same shit over and over again.
Reza just shaved his mustache. How dare you?
I know. I'm sorry. But, you know, it's for me, this was actually my first episode that I've seen this season because I was traveling during the first two episodes. And when I sat down today to catch up, my DVR had erased the episodes because it was one of those things where Bravo decided to do like some random marathon of season two. And that like replaced all the episodes that had been saved on there.
Oh.
So I wasn't really able to watch episodes one and two. And the thought of just going on to demand and not being able to fast forward over commercials, it just wasn't worth it. So can you just give me like a quick update on where we're at so far in episodes one and two?
Yeah, because you told me that that was the case. And I was like, well, it's Shaws. Like, how much do you think happened? They ate a lot. They went out of town, ruined each other's lives. The end. You know, like, but then I was watching it and I thought, God, a lot, I guess, is different. Reza's a lot older now, but he's lost weight. MJ is thinner and like bigger at the same time, like something like she's more beautiful than ever, but like it's like completely different looking. It's weird.
Well, it's like when you squeeze toothpaste, it'll get like skinnier in the middle, but you know.
Yes, and she, I mean, I think looks better than ever. Well, what else? Asa's gone.
Yeah.
Well, you
have
know
we
all
seen
this.
Asa at all?
So then, yeah, we see her in the clips into the preview in her store, you know, saying like, "Babe, I don't know that Reza's ready to have a baby, babe." And Adam's like, So far, they went to Big Bear, and we meet Nima and his sister Mona, who were separated when they were little kids and their parents got divorced. And then they were reunited as adults, but now they're in love. Like, it's, like, totally obvious that they're a couple.
I got that vibe, especially when they, in this episode, when they walked into Rockwell together, and I was like, oh, there's Nima and his girlfriend. I was like, oh, okay, that's his sister.
And
never
the whole
mind.
Cast makes fun of them for it, because it's, like, obvious. And, he's like, no, he's like really dorky, but he's trying to be a real asshole because he's on the Shots of Sunset now.
Yeah.
And he's like thirsty for TV, I guess. So he's trying to be a horrible person. So he stopped wearing socks. And then he like tried to cheat on his girlfriend on TV. But Gigi was like, I know. And then Gigi and MJ got in a fight over what they showed clips of. So you saw that.
Shalom.
Yeah, shalom. And that's it.
Okay, I mean, that feels good. I mean, and we no longer have Shervin as a main cast member, and Shervin has a man bun, which is problematic, right?
Didn't he last year, too?
You know, it started to develop last year. I think it was there last year. I think I'd forgotten about it. And then seeing it again in the wake of, you know, Patrick on Vanderpump Rules, I was like, this is unacceptable, Shervin. And, you know, I've always liked you. I've always found him to be so cute. He's, like, cute hot. But the man bun... The Shervin man bun, like, he doesn't need to do that. He doesn't need the man bun. He's Shervin.
You know why I respect his man bun? Because he pulls out wads of hundreds. Now, that is a man who can have a man bun. Like, when they go to that bar in this episode, and he's like, just get bottles, Tito's, rosé, whatever. And the lady's like, okay, that's 700. And he whips out, like, hundreds?
Mm.
A wad of hundreds. I mean, on Bravo, we see wads of ones with a 20 on the outside to make it look.
Doesn't work for me. You know what? It's like... You know what, if you're like a big like Patriots fan and you wear like a Patriots jersey, but then you wear a Patriots hat, like only one, you only get one piece that you can wear. You can't like wear two or three things. So you're either going to do like one douchebag thing. It's either man bun or wad of hundreds. You can't have man bun and wad of hundreds. That's just like awful. And honestly, have none of those things.
Yeah. Oh, he's so cute. I like him. And I like his decision to still be on the show. But, like, not share anything from his real life. So, basically, his job this year is to pay for things and then to hold Gigi back. And that's really all we need Shervin for. You know, I'm there
Well,
for
he
that.
Also needs to be shirtless occasionally. It's very important that Shervin takes off his shirt.
Oh, yeah. Because I like watching the evolution of these guys. Like, how much hair do they have on their back this year?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you know, I have to say, I mean, your post was hilarious last week when you're like, Mike's opened up a Sephora on his face.
Yeah.
So true. I mean, Mike is just looking worse for wear. However, in the middle of this episode, I don't know if there was this look in other episodes, there was one interview look he had where he looked like hot. And I was like, whoa, wait, where did that come from? He's like good angle. Facial hair was like all where it should be. And I was like, all of a sudden Mike is hot. And then it like goes back to like the actual footage. And he's like in a giant farmer hat. And I'm like, oh,
yeah, his hats. Yeah. He's in like act three of a Persian Godfather movie this season.
Yeah,
he's really committed to the like, hey, come on over here and sit on Uncle Mikey's lap. Eh?
It was kind of funny to me seeing this cast of characters again, you know, after, you know, like 9 months or whatever, and noticing my gut reactions to some of them, because I had strange, like sudden reactions. When I saw Mike, I was just like, you know what? I can't with Mike right now. Like I've gone up and down with Mike. There's sometimes I really like him and there's sometimes I'm like, ugh. But when he came on screen, I was like, no, I don't think I need this. And then also Adam, when I saw Adam, I was like, you know what? Enough with Adam. I can't.
Well, Adam like, has really pushed it a lot this season.
Yeah.
Especially this
episode.
Ever
since he got scratched by Gigi, it's almost like that scratch had like some weird like werewolfy aspect to it where he was like tame gay. And then after he got scratched by Gigi, he has slowly started to become more awful.
Yeah, he's loud gay now. He was like heckling when MJ announced that he wasn't in the wedding. He's like, hey, I've known you for 6 years. What the hell? Like he was heckling from the back.
Yeah, he's like, it's whiny gay now. I'm like, he's not really whiny. I mean, I'm whiny. I'm whiny gay.
He's totally whiny. He's like, hi, babe. How many rooms do we have for the babies? And look, I've even given him Tinsley's voice from Real Housewives of New York, because that's how much he's whining. So we open up this episode with Reza showing MJ the new house that he's building. or that he's redoing or whatever. And he's like, oh my God, isn't this like all American? There's going to be a picket fence. It's like the new face of the American family. Take it in, America. Yes, Reza, you're the first fucking immigrant who's ever had a family in America. Congratulations.
Well, maybe in the Trump era. So Reza, MJ shows up. And she's wearing sunglasses, and I liked her sunglasses because it looked like they were made of like two paddles from a Ouija board set, you know, pointing in different directions.
What an oddly accurate description of those sunglasses.
She's like communicating with the underworld while at the same time protecting her eyes from UV rays.
Yeah, MJ has really committed to her insane sunglasses fixation this year.
It's about time. It's about time.
She's very divine with her sunglasses, you know? So MJ asks a really important question that we need to all ask our friends when they're building a house. Do you have a toilet that's going to wash your ass? He's like, yeah, everything.
You know, I just don't understand why we as Americans look down on the concept of bidets. Like, you know, I feel like it's such an American thing. I'm talking as if I'm not American, but I just feel like in general, people are like, oh my God, the French, they don't even use deodorant. Like, how disgusting. I'm like, yeah, but at least the French wash their asses. Like, why do we look down on bidets? Like, that's like a good thing. That's like, oh, making sure our assholes are cleaner. That's good.
It's just such an awkward, it's just created so awkwardly. Like, you get on this separate thing and squat down on it. It's like it wasn't designed well. The industrial design wasn't really well thought out on a bidet. And I think they're talking about these toilets where a little thing comes comes out of the toilet and then it sprays up your butt and stuff and then it retreats, like it goes back in. And my problem with that, it's like a public water fountain where everybody's getting their lips on the fountain and I don't want to drink the water that's touching the thing that touched their lip. You get germs, you know?
Right. So I'm afraid of those. Don't drink the toilet.
Well, you know, but I don't want it, like, you know what I mean. I know.
You don't want to share butt water.
Yeah, I don't want to share butt water. You know? Aren't hot tub jets enough? Like.
Well, I am pro asshole cleaning toilets. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. Okay.
But I do agree. Bidets are not designed well. I do agree. It's like you have to hover. And then, like, I don't know why they're not given seats as well. Well, the French must be taller than me.
And also, my mom had one when we were growing up, when they, like, designed my mom's dream home on the cul-de-sac in El Paso. Somewhere that's brown. Because it was, like, all desert. But she got her house, and she had a bidet, and I was like, what is this? And no one would really explain to us what it was, because my parents were super conservative, so I guess they just, like, my sister didn't know that she was getting her period when she got her period. She freaked out. She didn't know what was happening. She thought she was dying. Like, they were really conservative. So I didn't really understand what this thing was, so I would sneak in there and turn it on, and it was just confusing to me. I didn't really understand.
You're, like, pretending it was, like, the Fountains of the Bellagio? Did you start playing, like, classical music and turning it up and down,
How did you know what I was like as a child?
You start playing, like, start spreading the news. It's like Frank Sinatra, and you, like, slowly crank up the bidet and then drop it and crank it up fast and drop it and then go halfway, then drop it, then high, then drop it.
Oh, God. Bidets, right, guys? Okay, yeah. So they have a little champagne picnic on the front, and Reza's like, so, like, how crazy lit were we at that party? They were such bastards at that party. Like, they were such assholes. And MJ's like, you know what? I'm into not shaming ourselves in any way.
Yeah. You know, it's funny seeing that flashback. It reminded me of, I think it was season 2, when Reza decided he hated MJ. And he had some sort of party. And he got up on a stage with, like, Lily Galici, and MJ was there, and Reza's like, I'm so glad that all my favorite people are here, like Lily and Asa and Mike and future Shervin and other people, and exactly those people, and I've left no one out. And, of course, he, like, didn't mention MJ.
Yep.
Like, this guy, he loves getting on stage and just doing a passive-aggressive comment.
Yeah, he likes being a total asshole in front of everybody. Like, he doesn't, he's really nice in private. He just ruins you in public.
He's like, some people's feelings were hurt. I'm like, we just saw a flashback of Gigi, like, turning into a wild banshee because of what you said. Like,
they brought his ex-wife to the party. just to with Golnessa, okay? That's why she, like, went into her, like, I'm going to hit a wall rage or whatever.
Yes. Yeah, they didn't really explain that.
MJ's acting all confused. She's like, when Golnessa was with Shalom, she was nicer and better. But now that she's having some personal problems, she's having a problem seeing other people be happy. No, it's because you brought her ex, her ex's ex-wife. Gah! You brought her ex's ex to the party, you a-hole. And she's like, MJ... I don't have time for, like, friends who need peanut butter with her jelly.
I'm like, that sounds like a great friend. Who wants a jelly sandwich?
You know, nobody, like... MJ, okay? Get some protein in your snacks, MJ.
I specifically need the peanut butter with my jelly, actually. So, and I know it was, like, some sort of commentary on jealousy, but honestly, like, maybe we'd like jealous people more if they came with peanut butter.
Yeah. And don't mess up my daytime snack with your messiness, okay?
Yeah. If I had some bread here in the apartment, I would definitely make myself a PB&J.
Girl, I have called Yummy in the middle of the night. Like, bring me some white bread, some peanut butter, and some jelly, and some chips, and some cigarettes. And some vodka while you're at it. Come on over, Yummy.
Speaking of white bread, we then had a surprising Big Brother crossover with Dr. Will Kirby, who showed up. He looks great.
Oh, my God. I mean, he's a dermatologist. This person makes me believe in taking care of my skin.
Yeah, he has transitioned into Silver Fox astonishingly well. You know, his face looks exactly the same as it did 10 years ago, 15 years ago. But now, instead of, like, the dark sort of, like, shiny black hair, it's now this, like, salt and pepper luxurious feast. And Dr. Will Kirby, I just give you a standing O. And we like Dr. Will Kirby because he was an avid supporter of TVgasm, where we got our start.
Yeah, he sure was. And he's also, like, he'll show up on these shows, but he's not a camera hog or a whore.
Mm-mm.
Like, this was his scene. He could have been, like, trying to cause shit, come back for a party, do something like that, but he didn't. He, like, let his hot nurse take over, and he just kind of stood there.
Yeah. Yeah, Chilltown.
I was into it.
Mayor of Chilltown for a reason. So, so Gigi shows up to Dr. Will's practice because Dr. Will's specialty these days, I believe, is tattoo removal. So she wants to get Shalom removed, or does she? Because she's sort of like, I'm here to get my tattoo removed, but I don't want to get rid of it. So I'm like, well, what, you want to just take a nap on the table? Why are you here? Like, literally, like, I don't get it. Like, what's going on? Like, what's happening?
And then Destiny arrives with her platitudes, like, what's this doubt? You're done. You're not looking back, okay? That word is not doing you any good. No more of that word. I'm like, okay, well, so she can't say hello or goodbye anymore. You know, like, let the girl keep some manners.
I know. Also, by the way, Destiny looks crazy this season. That's also another. I wasn't upset to see her. I did not have a visceral reaction against her. But she looks cray, super cray this season.
I think it's her interview look, because her interview look is where she's, like, bleached. She's got it, like her big roots showing, and then it's bleached.
Yeah, her lace front is, like, yeah, like, it's, like, the lace front is, like, all the way at the top of her head or something, and then her natural hair is below. It's, like, I don't know. It's like she's created, like, a wig carpet on her head.
Yeah.
So,
and they told her, like, bring more. You know, because, like, you need to bring more. So she's like, okay, guess what? I'm going to bring crying. I'm going to cry so much. You guys are not going to believe how much I'm going to cry. I'm like, this girl's got some issues. And frankly, they're not issues I really care about. I mean, hand her a knife and show her who to cut, please. This is the shots.
Exactly. So, and one of her issues, I think, is her desire to want to, like, memorialize Gigi's tattoo removal by recording it, presumably for social media. I'm like, this is not what I would want to see when I come onto Instagram.
But we do. Oh, yeah. And Will, that's probably where Will really shined in this scene on Insta. We just didn't see those. It's like, Dr. Will Kirby, you can find me at Will Kirby, you know, dermatology or whatever.
Yeah.
Getting paid.
So then we go over to Rockwell, where Nimona, that's what I like to call them,
Nimona.
You know, can I tell you something? I had a dream last night.
Pneumonia.
Pneumonia. Pneumonia. I had, it's so, okay, this is what this was leaning towards. Okay, that pneumonia joke, that's where this is, okay, this is, let me tell you something. I had a dream last night that I was diagnosed with pneumonia. And then today I went to the dentist, and the dentist was looking through my records and was like, So back in 2009, you were had pneumonia, didn't you? And I was like, that's so weird. Why would they bring that up? And then on this episode, Shams got pneumonia. I'm like, pneumonia? What's up with pneumonia today? And then now I'm realizing why. It was all to give us pneumonia.
And while you were doing that, I started smoking a vape instead of a cigarette because I'm like trying to cut down. And I started coughing so hard, I was like, I'm going to get pneumonia. And then I stopped coughing, and I was like, damn, my teeth hurt. I really need to go to the dentist. And I'm not even kidding.
That really happened. A crazy circle.
Yeah. So let's get that taken care of, guys.
Well, guess what? And I thought of you at the dentist because I have a crack in my tooth. And I remember you said you had a crack.
Yeah, I have two. I need to go get two teeth. I'm like pathetic right now. Like I need to like really take care of myself right now.
Pneumonia and dentistry, right? Isn't this the life?
Yeah, like the birthday's coming up and I'm starting to take stock and I'm like, okay, you've got two broken teeth. And there's like a lot of issues, okay? I don't even want to list them here. And I think that I'm just doing that because we started talking about how Destiny cries all the time. So now I'm like, oh my God, you know what I have to fix? I'm going to cry. Okay, so anyway, everybody on the internet has been speculating that either these two are fucking or Nemo's just totally gay and he's just trying to, you know, cover up by not ever committing to a girl.
Well, they did go to Rockwell.
And I was going to say, and then they go to the only dinner theater in town, the Rockwell.
Yeah, so they have this really fascinating conversation where Nemo's like, I really like outdoor places. And she's like, you know, I care half about food, half about ambience. He's like, I care almost 100% about ambience. I was like, wow, this is fascinating. Let's call photos.
She's like, he goes, we're really close and we're really involved in each other's lives. And we're like, yeah, we know. So they, so the producer's like, so is anybody mistaking you for a couple? I mean, besides Destiny and Reza and MJ and Shervin and 8 million and Americans.
He's like, honestly, like, it happens a lot. People often think that, like, we're husband and wife. And honestly, it makes me want to gag. It makes me want to gag at the idea of boning her.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Yeah, he goes, it's like Ace Ventura with the plunger on his face. And then he started making this motion with the plunger on his face, but it looked like the blowjob motion. And I was like, you just can't win, Nemo. You just cannot win.
By the way, I like Nemo. I have to say, I like him.
Oh, what a douchebag. He shows up and then tries to cheat on purpose with Gigi on national TV while he's got a girlfriend, who he was cheating on his wife with, by the way. I'm not falling for your lies, sir.
Well, by the way, and I definitely have issues with stuff that he did this episode, but since I don't have as much of context on him, I was like, oh, this guy seems like a nice breath of fresh air.
Yeah, that's how he seems. And then those are the guys that fuck you the worst.
But we need that kind of douchebag on this show because we were getting all just like Mike douchebags, and we need a different dimension.
New douchebag, yeah.
Yeah, we need like different styles of douchebags.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So, Mona's like asking what's the deal with Gigi, and he's like, well, there's just like a natural chemistry with Gigi, and I'm like, I'm not sure
not really.
I would use the word natural with Gigi.
And please don't use chemistry around Gigi. You'll blow up your whole fucking house, okay?
Just don't use anything around her.
If you have any chemistry, any chemicals in your house at all, put a lock on the door, okay?
Yeah. So, he was saying how he almost told his girlfriend Erica that he almost kissed Gigi, and we get a flashback of him almost telling Erica, and he's like, yeah, you know, Big Bear was like really awesome. It was really cool, and I had like a really great connection with like a lot of people. And she's like, "Cool,
yeah, great,
cool."
And Mona's like, "You put me in a bad position. One, as a woman, I don't think it's right." He's like, "Oh my God, as a woman." She's like, "And number two, Erica's been so kind to both of us. And number three, you're mine, motherfucker."
She just throws a martini in his face. And he's like, my biggest problem is that I don't think before I act. It's like, yeah, hello, welcome to the world of Gigi.
Yeah, like, hello, welcome to the Shaws.
Yeah, exactly.
And he keeps doing this thing where he's like, well, it wasn't really fair because, you know, I shouldn't have gone straight to a girlfriend right after my marriage. I'm like, you shouldn't have gone to your girlfriend during your marriage. No one is falling for this, okay? And later he says, he's like, well, we knew her when I was married, and when I had problems, I would go to her and talk to her. And then months and months later, when it was appropriate, we started dating, and she was patient with me. You were cheating.
And then, okay? And then she started to run his plastic surgery practice, yeah. And then they had a little child, and they got a pasta arm in their kitchen. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I went over to Dallas for a second.
I know.
So now we go to Reza's condo where he's like preparing his dog for a walk with Mike. He's like, my dog does not like other dogs, so I have to prepare him for Mike. And so Mike shows up and they go on like a little doggy walk together.
And I just, you know, Reza's dog is named Martini. And I thought that's dangerous because I can imagine Reza ingesting that dog. You know, just like coming home drunk late one night and just like drinking the dog. Like this show, no one ingests more than this show. I'm like, just don't name your animals anything edible or drinkable, okay?
I mean, this is a show where a central cast member put her dog in the freezer. So,
and then that's how I came up with Shannon Bedore products.
Frozen Archie.
So as Reza's on this walk with Mike through the neighborhood, he starts talking about how Teeny, because that's what they call the dog for short, Teeny went and started attacking this giant dog at the dog park. It was like such a big dog, and then I started talking to the owner. And it turns out the owner, they're like the fun chez, and they're like, they are fun, and they like chez lounges, and they have like thousands of dollars, and they want me to, like, they love my hair, and they want me to invest $500,000 in their next scheme, which will totally break out.
And Mike's like, whoa. You know, did you notice that Mike got jet, like, he was like, whoa, because Mike will invest in anything. Every year, Mike is investing in something else.
Yeah, he is, like, invested in stop signs. He's like, bro, who says the government's the only one that can make stop signs? I got my own stop signs down, bro.
So Mike got jealous for a second, and you know, I was waiting for Reza to ask Mike to invest money because I feel like that's coming up. Because you know he's trying to sucker Mike into this because Reza ain't this stupid, you know?
Yeah, and he's going to say, well, I don't want to put on all the money myself because I promised Adam I would buy him a tchotchke. So I like when Mike also likes to assume that he's already part of it because he's like, hey, dogs, we're living the high life, champagne. I'm like, you're not part of this deal, Mike. You're not living the high life.
Yeah, Mike. And Rez is like, as a Persian, you are raised to be a money-making machine. I'm like, welcome to America. You know, this is not a show where there's like, when you're a Persian, you get hungry 3 times a day.
So then he's like, well, I really want to invest in this, but I have this little voice inside my head that's like, bitch, you can't be doing that. And then I also hear Adam. And then we see a flashback of Adam like, when are we going to have a baby? What about the baby? I want to have a baby. Can we have a baby? Is this for the baby? Baby, 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 baby. Carol Radswell just enters.
He's just giving his entire Carol Radswell reading of a script from her season of New York. He's like,
baby, 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 marathon, baby, 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 baby.
You should stop listening to Amy Grant on repeat, honestly.
Baby, baby.
So Reza's like, this little voice inside me named Adam, and he goes like this, he's like, we need a baby. Like, you've really masculated Adam in your mind. Yeah. Adam's like the brawny man in his mind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because Adam, I mean, this baby thing with Adam and Reza, I'm like over it. Like, I don't think Reza really wants a baby. And I actually, you know, I do feel like, you know, Reza wants to invest in it. This is the sort of thing that he wants to invest in. And later on, you know, he sold his dream house in Palm Springs for this. I don't know. I feel like Reza makes so many sacrifices for Adam. And, like, Adam's sacrifice is that he, like, had to move his cornflakes over, you know, to make room for something. And I just –
yeah, that
I don't know.
Reza,
I don't think it's fair.
He's a real giver in the relationship. You see, that's what happens when we have so much time off between seasons. We're like, God, Reza really does put a lot to this relationship. Do we need to list the things that Reza has done to Adam? I cannot even. No, I mean, Adam is such a doormat. Jesus Christ.
But, like, either just be a doormat or be like assertive, but don't be like a doormat that's like, maybe next time we could get a plant to go next to me by the door. Like, no, just be the doormat.
Yeah. And I just like how casually they put it every time. He's like, the next big purchase is a baby. God, like they're just stopping at the store. So then Mike goes, my relationship advice, one-on-one, if you keep secrets, it won't work. Okay? It got me in trouble. I'm like, those are not the same kind of secrets, Mike. You were cheating on your girlfriend and lied about it. Or your wife, rather.
Oh, God. All these stupid people. Mike. So, I know. MJ, I love when Mike gives advice about relationships.
Oh, like, wait. You just wait. He's a fount this year of knowledge, of self-help knowledge. He's like the guy on Below Deck Med this week that's like a self-help guy. Mike is self-helping the shit out of everybody, and it's like, it's amazing to watch. And then he ages like 10 years between each meme, you know?
He just gets stumpier and stumpier. So it's like weird. He just becomes like more of like a barrel.
He's like, hey, yeah. Bully, I got your fish in the back, eh?
Yeah. It's like, I can't describe it. And then yet he suddenly looks hot like three quarters of the way through the episode. I was like, what?
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
We now got MJ's new house. I didn't realize that she had left her. I really dislike this on Bravo when we have to sit through a season of like, oh, look at me. I'm moving into a condo. I'm doing this. I'm doing renovations. Look, it's finished. And the next season, oh, I got a new place.
This cast is constantly moving, and I feel like they don't pay their rent. I think they go into these really expensive places, wait till they get an eviction notice, then wait for the 3 months that they're allowed to stay there and squat, and then find another. Because there has to be something fishy. They're always moving.
No, I mean, I think that they flip their properties. I actually think, well, I don't know. I think some of them flip their properties. I think, like, actually MJ probably flipped her condo. And it was probably a temporary thing because there's no way she's going to live under Vita, you know? But Mike, that's weird. The stuff with Mike is weird.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, how does he...
Everything with Mike is weird. Even a storyline today where he shows up in a big truck full of boxes for homeless people. There's something not right here, okay?
Yeah. And what's going on with his shoes, his baby shoes? Did we get an update on the first two episodes?
He's like, everyone gets one blanket, one pair of socks, one pair of baby shoes. Come on, homeless people.
Everyone gets a baby shoe. So we go to MJ's new house, and she has a new assistant named Sienna. And MJ's like, I'm just juggling way too much. So I had to get an assistant. I'm like, what are you juggling? She's actually literally juggling. She started taking a juggling class. She's like, I can't stop. I've got to do like 70 hours of juggling. And I don't have time to do everything else. I have an assistant to do like basic typing for me. She has to meet her quota so she can become professionally certified.
I want to have to learn to juggle by my wedding.
Yeah. She's like, I called up blueprint.com and they don't have any juggling lessons for me. So I called the Priv people.
MJ is my favorite because she's not only the laziest ass wedding thrower like I would be. She's like, I just went digital. She's getting it all for free from some company named Blueprint. And she's just brilliant. I mean, the lady just sits there on her couch in a bra, basically. She puts a jacket over a bra. And then she just has everybody bring her free shit. And she just orders it on her phone. I mean, MJ's kind of the smartest person on this show at the moment.
Yeah, I actually don't understand why more weddings are not planned like this. Like, yeah. I mean, everyone goes on Pinterest and sees what they like. So she's just like, okay, I want that cake and I want those flowers and I want these glasses. And then she's like, in my dream wedding, I would be a forest nymph. And then it like cuts to some weird like deleted footage from the Zelda video game of like elves running through the woods and talking Deku trees and things like that.
And then it just like zones in on MJ just eating a hot dog next to a nymph. But these are the clips they used to show of Asa, remember? When Asa would be like, I want my baby to come out in a diamond field of water of, you know, Arabic spring. And you're like, what the fuck is she talking about?
You know what was funny to me was like a few days ago, I was on Instagram and I was, I follow certain like hot guys, just, you know, a little, as Karen Huger would say, a little eye candy, you know, why not? So a bunch of them are like muscle dudes or like personal trainer types, whatever. And one guy on his Instagram story was like, check out this awesome water with like alkaline water with minerals. And it was like diamond water. And I was like, this douchebag doesn't even realize he's holding up Asa's stupid water. And he's like, look at this. It's so cool, bro. Like, do you even lift? It's like, you're holding Asa's water.
I know. When I first saw Blackwater out in the real world with people who didn't even watch Bravo, I was both impressed and horrified.
Yeah, I know. It's very scary what happens in this world. Yeah. Thank God we watch Bravo to understand these things.
So the cake designer guy is on the FaceTime, and he's like, okay, you said like a little cake. It's puny. We need a bigger cake, okay? So name a fashion designer, and we'll just go from there. She goes, 1992 Gianni Versace when he was alive. And he's like, done, bitch. Done. Got it.
He's like, I was originally going to think of something from Talbot's, but that works too.
And how handy that that show was right on TV at the time. Like, thank God she wasn't watching like a fashionista or a Maxinista commercial, you know?
Well, I'm just glad she didn't say Kathy Ireland collection.
The Countess collection, please.
Well, no, that 2017. I would have. She by Sheree. It's just like, she just gets a drawing of a cake.
And it's all made of jogging pants.
Well, the cake was supposed to be delivered in September, spring, summer.
Yeah. And she goes, you know, a lot of girls have a lot of time to do this, but when you only have 5 days, you just go on the phone like me, blueprint.com.
Yeah. So then we go to Griffith Park, where Nima is walking a dog with Erica, and they're making a little bit of patter, and he's like saying, you know, she's saying like, oh, you're enjoying it because you always seem to complain every time we do something. He's like, no, like, I'm like really happy to spend time with you. I really, really am. Even when I'm complaining, I'm like really happy. So happy that I am riddled with anxiety at the moment. So I went to Big Bear and I was near Gigi, and I feel really awkward about this. It was outside. We're by a garage door. We're on some asphalt. She's like, can you get to the point?
And he's like, well, there was almost like a kiss. And she goes, how do you almost kiss someone? He's like, well, we're outside. And then we were both like, no. And she goes, oh, wait. So she stopped it or you stopped it? Which is women's intuition, you know, a woman's intuition. Like, she's totally right. She totally saw how it happened. And then he lies again. And he's like, we both did. And then they show the clip of Gigi like, no.
And in the middle of this, we literally had an ad for blueprint.com, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Shocker.
Yeah.
Well, at least it wasn't Craftsy. It could have been worse, MJ. No, count your blessings.
That's true. Oh, God. It would have been like twigs everywhere.
Here's how to make your own wedding cake. MJ would be like, I'm fucked.
Yeah, Blueprint already seems much better than Craftsy. Yeah. So, yes, Erica's just like sitting there quietly. And I was like I was watching this scene trying to figure out if this was a scene that happened already in real life and they're recreating it, or if this is happening now in real – like this is the first time she's hearing about it, because she's just sitting there quietly with like a half smile of shock and like – humiliation being on camera. And then she's just like, I'm boiling right now.
Yeah, she's like, I am really mad.
I'm so livid.
So upset. And it's like, yeah, but I didn't think I'd go from wife to girlfriend. There's you know, there's things I gotta work through there. And she's like, I've gotta go. And then he does that thing where he's wrong, but he's like, but I'm fully aware that I'm being a hypocrite. Well, that doesn't change it. You know,
although that's what we do all the time.
I do it, but
which is inherently hypocritical.
That's true. Okay, you're right. But guess what? I'm single. Okay, I'm not imposing that on somebody else. Okay, that's why I stay in my own apartment, away from other people. Okay.
Well, you know what I actually did not like about this, and this is where I started to be like, wait a second, he's actually a douchebag, was when she says, do you want to be in a relationship? And he goes, well, I never thought I'd go from wife to serious girlfriend, and you came into my life and completely changed that perspective, which is the quiet implication there is, this is your fault, because I should have just been single, and you came into my life, and like the suggestion is, you kind of trapped me, you know, which is kind of
right. Also, and like, you knew that I was you were with me when I was in such a bad state, and you should have known I wasn't ready, instead of just taking me, you know. And she's like, well, you know, my next stop in life is marriage and babies, and you're throwing a wrench into my plans in the seventh inning. Well,
who throws a wrench at a baseball game?
Yeah, I'm like, you're not. I'm really gay, and even I know that that's not how it works.
Yeah,
like, you're playing baseball wrong. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, and he's like, well, at the same time, he's like, to be fair, I said I never wanted kids, you know. So, you know, this kid issue for straight people, that's, or I guess for both sides, because we're seeing it with Adam and Reza, but gosh, people really don't seem to listen to each other's what they want in life.
No. And I've learned from watching these Bachelor shows that no one listens. They don't even care. They just want to be picked by somebody.
Yeah.
You know, and they both think that they can change each other. And then they have the natural, I think the place we're at right now is that we know that we can have somebody to go to the movies with and fuck and, you know, help us run errands and clean the house. And then when we find someone better, we just dump them. And that's just how life works.
Yeah. And you know what Nima does also, which I think is so annoying. He's like, well, he tells us like, no, she really deserves a guy who's like ready without baggage because she's so great and she deserves that. And he tells her, you know, I'm not going to waste another second of your time. Like, oh, thanks for the favor. Like, don't like put your, like, he's like putting it on her, right? Like he's basically breaking up with her, but he's putting it on her. Like, no, you have to dump me, you know, which is like kind of annoying because then he gets to be like, oh, I was dumped, you know, like, no, you're the one who's like, oh, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, yeah. I'm not going to waste another second of your time. Like, well, how just say like, I don't want to be in a relationship. He's like, he won't do that. And so finally she's like, well, I think I want a break. He's like, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
And she's like, sorry's not really going to work for me now. So
I think we should go. And then he starts walking back down the hill with her and the dog. I'm like, I know you're taking an Uber.
Yeah, whatever happened to you saying you're not going to waste another second of her time is then you then walk with her.
Yeah, can I have a ride home? So NJ and the dad, so sad because her father passes away this season.
Yeah.
And it's really sad. And she's taking selfies with the dad in the hospital and stuff. And she's like, you know, I really want to emulate my dad and do things he would do. And I want my friendships to lift each other up. Like,
you're going to have to get a new group of friends, I'm afraid.
Yeah, what a nice thought.
This poor guy shams. I mean, he's been stuck in that bed for a year. Ah, the poor guy. That's hard.
Nothing
it's hard
to make
to
fun
watch.
Of there. So let's move on.
To Destiny going on a date. She's in the backseat of her car talking to her mom, Titi. And she's like, mother, I'm going on a date. The mom's like, that's nice.
She goes, that's my girl. That's my girl. She's like, he just popped up my ass at MJ's event, mom, Alex. And then they show Alex and I'm like, oh my God, of course he popped up at MJ's event.
Yeah. When I first saw Alex at this event, like I was like, is he doing some sort of like Grease cosplay or something like that? Because his hair was like so big. And I was like, oh my God, this guy is awful.
Yeah. He's very like, go Grease Lightning, go Grease Lightning.
But then, you know, just to jump ahead for a second, when he did later show up on the date, he looked much better.
Foin.
I was like, wait a second. He's Foin. Hot. Ugh.
I think she called him and was like, I would love to go on a date with you. Here's how to fix yourself.
Yeah, here's how to like dress and do your hair.
Yeah.
And then we can go.
Yeah, forward. Here's what conditioner is. And I've sent a comb Amazon Prime one day. Okay.
Yeah.
So
So she's talking to her mom and you know, we hear stories about like her mom tells a very sweet story about how her dad, like her mom totally remembers her first date with her dad and like she knew that her dad loved her because like he always knew what she was thinking. It was like so sweet. And then to hear that like he basically had to go back to Iran for, it was very vague for like to handle business with all that shit, whatever that meant. And then it sounded like they just never were able to get back in contact and
yeah, they just lost him. He never came back. And so the mom worked three jobs to raise all the kids. I mean, this was really a depressing episode.
That is like such a sad, sad thought. You know, it's like very reminiscent of what happened to Edith on Downton Abbey. And it's like...
It is. Oh my God, what if her dad comes back with like a different face?
So anyway, the BBC
didn't pay enough. So she's like, well, it just showed me that you can marry anyone and they can just leave. And if the child hurts, they go through pain. And look what it does to you. Look at me. Look at me. And I'm like, okay, so you're blaming your hair on your dad? I mean, are you really going to blame your dad job on your dad right now?
She's blaming it on the revolution. So she shows up at a place called The Attic, 45 minutes late for her date. And
No, ma'am. Bye. Get up and leave, sir.
Yes, true. But I'm glad he stayed because, he, you know, he actually was like, I want to leave, but I want people to know that I had a bad hair day. And this is what my hair actually looks like. Yeah. So I've got to wait till so I can be on camera.
Yeah. And he's like,
but he's like full of. Yeah, sorry.
He's like, you sure know how to keep a man waiting. And she's like, oh, well, you know, traffic. Guess I'm going to have a Moscow mule. That's like her thing. She's always having a Moscow mule. I have no joke for that. I just thought I'd point it out because that's all she drinks.
Well, because he goes, that's so LA. I'm like, what? It's like it's Moscow mule. If anything, it's from Moscow. No, but it's like from the 20s, you know? It's like, I know, it's not,
it's
so
like one
LA
of those trendy drinks that came back a few years ago. And they're like, everywhere, yeah, mixology, across the country. Guys.
It's across the country. And then he's like, what's he drinking? A whiskey and Coke. I mean,
that's so Iran.
So LA.
Oh, well, he's Iraq.
That's so Baghdad.
That's so pre-Saddam.
So Destiny, she wants more of an alpha man in life and a guy with a big pepito, which is a big penis, because
or a pumpkin seed. I mean, I don't know, depending on which language left. You see, which, yeah, which she, language you speak.
It's a love for pumpkin seeds is very important to her.
Yeah, she basically wants someone abusive. That's what I hear, because she's like, yeah. He has to be so intimidating that he won't be intimidated by me. And I'm like, be careful what you ask
Destiny.
For. Yeah.
Like, you're walking. She's acting like she's walking around with like a spiked bat.
Yeah, she's all negating him. So he's like, tell me about those rings. You look like your hands are scratched up. And she's like, oh, I was working on my car. I have like an old like Cadillac. It's amazing. Like, I work on it myself. Like, hipster. Have you ever been to the candy store downtown? Because I can totally get you a bargain. And he's like, oh, yeah, car talk. Yeah, I got a Pepito boner.
Yeah. And then he talks about how his parents were separated during the Gulf War. And so it was like very – and they didn't know if they were alive or not, et cetera. And – she was like, oh, my God, that's what happened to my parents. So they started to bond, and she basically gets a lady boner. And you know what? Good for her, because yeah. He was hot.
And she goes, you know how they say a woman falls for someone when they say something sad? It's totally true. I'm totally falling.
It's like, you ever see the end of Life is Beautiful? She's like, oh, no. I love you.
It's so true. That is how you get them on The Bachelor. You make them wait and wait, and then you go, guess what? I have to tell you something vulnerable. And they're like, oh my God, you're the one. Okay, but here's why I don't trust him. And this might not be fair, but she's like, oh, I like your bracelet. And it's a wooden bead. You know, it's one of those wood bead bracelets on like a stretchy band thing.
Yeah, elastic.
And he's like, my grandma gave me that. And I was like,
He's going to pull out like a foam finger next.
Yeah, I'm not sure. He's like, here's a picture of my grandma. It's one of those like caricatures done on the boardwalk, you know?
Yeah, it's like a total tchotchke.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting a Venice boardwalk from him. Totally, yeah. This guy.
So now we go from the attic to the study, where like pretty much they're just going to locations and Clue. So now it's Gigi and Shervin. They're at a bar. And Shervin's man bun is on display. It's not good. And they like decide to get like bottle service, which at first I was like, there's just two of you guys. This is like the douchiest display. But then, you know, people start coming in. But before that, like Gigi starts talking about MJ and she wants things to work out. And
not really. Shervin wants things to work out.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, well, she texted me. And why? Why would I go with her to listen to her reasons of why she's a bitch? Like Gigi came back. Remember how last season when she's like, I'm really going to learn. Or no, two seasons ago when she was into it with Reza and Reza tried to get her fired. And then she's like, I'm really going to change. And then last year she had a redemption year. And now she's ready to cut somebody in every fucking scene.
Well, she's always up and down every other season. Like every other season she has the angry season. And then every other season she has the good season. You know, it all depends on who Reza is targeting on any given. You know, like it's always a cycle. And now that Asa's out of it, I mean, I guess Destiny will be getting her – I guess next season will be Destiny's moment. Cause this is Destiny's first full season.
Yeah.
So either way, Pneumonia arrive and then Mike shows up. Pneumonia, Nima and Mona.
That is going to make me laugh every time. That is so good.
So Pneumonia, there's walking Pneumonia arrives. Walking Pneumonia, they're walking. They arrive.
Mike in a terrible hat, and he's now in like the very end of The Godfather, where like he dies.
It's like, he's like beekeeping.
He's like, hey,
orange. He's got oranges in his mouth. They're like, Mike, can you please put that back? That was supposed to be for our vodka.
It's like, how did you gain 10 pounds in your face from the last scene to this scene? This makes no sense.
And then random people start showing up. They're like, Vahid, Uncle Fred. Like, what?
And Mike goes, I don't know if there's an Iranian hotline that we all know where we are, you know, that night. And I'm like, yeah, it's called Instagram, dude.
That's true.
You know,
I was sort of sad that Sammy didn't get to show up. Remember Sam?
Oh, Sammy was at the party last week.
Was he?
Yes. He has been on a diet.
Really?
Of carbs and fat.
Oh.
Sexier than ever, Sammy. But Mike has totally stolen Sammy's look, by the way. It's like they fire Sammy and then Mike steals his look.
Oh, wow. I'm really glad that Bobby and Asifa never show up. That's like so nice.
Yeah, that
they
is a gift.
Do not show up. That but I'm sad gift. That we don't get to see more Lily Galici. I really liked Lily.
She's like, bye, I'm a multimillionaire now on my own. I'm richer than all of you put together, and I'm happily married. Suck a dick. How about that?
Exactly. So Nima's like telling Mike that he got dumped because he's like, I got dumped because you know, Erica was like, you know, you don't give me what I need, you're not the guy I deserve, all that sort of stuff. And I'm like, no, actually, you told her that you almost kissed Gigi. It wasn't like that she had all these hangups and you just didn't live up to her standards. Yeah. It's like, you almost kissed Gigi, and then you forced her to dump you, you know?
And then Mike's like, bro, it's a fucking blessing, bro. It's a fucking blessing, okay? He goes, I see it, you know? Like, I see him in me. Because, like, divorce fucks you up. And he didn't give himself time. Like, look, I've given myself time. Now look at me. I'm like, you look like you've been dead in a lake for 2 weeks, Coke Bloat. Like, what are you talking about?
Nima's like, hey, dude, I'm so sorry, but could you take the orange out of your mouth? I cannot understand what you're saying.
So the Uncle Fred's like, Gigi, oh, you're beautiful. What you want in this world, I provide it for you.
She's like, I don't know.
She's
yeah,
like,
I'm just...
a pair of scissors that haven't been shaved off the end so I can still cut somebody. That would be nice.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, Mike giving advice to him. No.
So next up
he's like, you need to heal. You need to have time off so you can heal. That's what you need. I'm like, you allegedly healed, and like now look who you're with. You're like basically dating a hand blender with extensions. Seriously. So, anyway.
That would actually make her useful, I have to say.
So then we hear, that's so Persian. Bitch be like, just because I'm gay doesn't mean I can't chop down trees. I'm like, okay, listen, burly man, you're cutting down like a baby ficus.
Like, you're chopping a Jeep, okay?
You just, like, clipped a bonsai, okay? Like, you're not, like, hacking a Grand Sequoia.
He's like, this bitch is handy. So Adam shows up and he's like, baby, 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 baby.
And, of course, like, Reza is, like, huffing and puffing. He's sweating. He's chopping down little trees and doing things to the house. Adam just, like, comes sauntering him with, like, the dog. He's like... You know, I'm like, you're making a lot of demands for someone who's not chopping down trees, Adam.
I know. Reza ripped his pants. He's like, look, my duel. And he's like, well, you're like totally exposed, babe. I was like, that's great for your new neighbors. Hey, there's some gay guy with
check
his
out
dick
the
hanging
face
out.
Of America.
I hope you're not by any schools. So Adam's like, oh my God, they took the steps away. Wow.
He's gonna have to have like a sit down coffee with the contractor and be like, so I was really upset because we needed stairs for Teeny and you took them away and it was like not cool.
How are kids supposed to get in the house without stairs?
So they're walking around and Reza's showing them around and he shows them the closet space and Reza has like two closets and Adam has one. Adam's like, do we think it should be 50-50 closets? And Reza's like, no. What about like 70-30? No, and until bitch be like building his own house, he can't have bitch be like closets. I was like, you know what? I agree with Reza on this one.
Yeah, you get enough.
Adam gets a drawer.
Yeah, you don't even get stairs. Rez is going to put his own personal stairs in to get into his side of the house, okay? You fucker. Yeah.
When they showed Reza's Palm Springs house, and it actually was beautiful, which was, I thought it was going to be just like full of Chevron, but it was beautiful. And the fact that he sold that, his dream, he loved going to Palm Springs. Every season he loved going there. It was his retreat. And he gave that up.
Oh, please. It was an investment property. He bought it, flipped it. Buy it, flip it. Buy it, design it, flip it. That's what he does, listen, baby.
Just, like,
I'm
have
in
some...
real estate, baby.
Let me have some, like, early season Reza love, okay?
No.
Before it turns out.
Oh, my God. He's such a bastard. You should have seen in the last episode. Classic.
Okay, that's the thing. This is why I can't come in on episode 3, because, like,
no,
missed...
I like it, though, because it tempers down my... Because, look, I started the season so fresh. Ask anyone, Ben. Ask anyone. Anybody listen. I was like, oh, my God, I've missed these people. I've missed this show. This is so good. And by now, I'm like, fuck him. Fuck her. Like, I'm already done, you know? So I like it. It's like keeping it fresh for me.
Who did you do it with? You did it with Laura, and then who was the other person you did it with?
Julie and Brandy did it with
me.
Oh,
yeah.
And Julie was in the airport.
Oh, God.
So you hear, like, I'm sure. Come to the game. She's, like, walking around with her laptop, you know, just telling, God. Like, molestation jokes. And Brandy was at her house. It was a real technical joy for the listeners, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure that sounded great. So Reza's still, like Adam's like, so what's the budget like? And he's like, well, we've spent $113,436.25. He's like, are we going to make it under budget? He's like, yeah. If we don't include the $500,000 I'm gonna invest in a shampoo company. Did I say that out loud? That's so Persian.
The next step is our two little kids.
I'm like, wait a second, you jumped to two? You've gotta hand it to Adam for expanding his thinking when he's not even getting anything. Okay?
Do we know what Adam does for a living?
Yeah, I think he's an editor. He's like a film or TV editor. He has a decent job.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool.
He works.
Yeah, I think he probably like edits PSAs.
Actually, I think he edits American Horror Story.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Oh, I heard it on El Internet. I have no idea if that's true.
Oh, there we go.
But well, I read it in some Facebook comment thread.
Well, in that case, he probably is contributing a nice amount to this house. So good for him.
Yeah, he's going to be paying for a lot of shampoo. I know. I always feel bad for Reza. Like, we get tricked. Like, Reza's the one spending the money. But, you know, Adam's investing, too. I mean, gold chains aren't cheap.
Yeah, Adam's probably investing more money if you really... If Adam's an editor on, like a long-running successful show, he's probably investing more money than Reza. But he gets the brunt of our snarkiness because the way the show's edited, it makes him just look like a whiny bitch where Reza's like, huffing and puffing.
Yeah. I've been working all day. It's so Persian. I'm like, no, it's not. Everybody knows, like, literally building your house is not so Persian. Okay, I used to live in Little Armenia. Stop fronting. So Nima and Erica's condo. Nima is packing, you know, and then he goes into his thing with us. He's like, well, my parents, you know, getting divorced when I was so young, really has had an effect on my life because I try to make every girl my family, and I need to change that so I'm not always watching relationships fall apart. I'm like, wait a second. That's not what happened with this. What do you stop
he's
blaming
just
things
too
on
virtuous.
Other people? Yeah,
he's just
too good.
Too good of a soul to have a healthy relationship. And I like he's basically like, I need to, he's essentially saying, I need to like stop the cycle. I need to fix this pattern. So what does he do? He calls up Mike. Mike's like, well, you know what? Hey, bro, life is like a progression, bro. Like, it's a progression. We have to just, like, move forward, even if it's, like, 0.1%. Like, don't be in a rush to figure it out in one day, okay? Like, some of us still never haven't figured it out. Like, I think I'm dating a vacuum cleaner. I don't even know.
Mike, who's living in a house full of boxes for, like, 3 months, they keep showing him asleep in his house, and it's just all boxes and dogs everywhere. They're just looking at him like, please let us go outside. Please. So speaking of hardly progressing at all, we meet Mike's new girlfriend.
I think we saw her like a little bit last season, actually, right? Didn't we see like a date or two last season? I don't know.
I
think so.
Well,
I mean,
I have to say,
it's hard to believe that someone with such a magnetic personality would be forgettable.
I do have to say, last week I was like, that girl's busted, because I only saw her on like a flash of the preview. I think she's very pretty. Now, useful? I don't know. But she's on the kitchen counter inside, like texting on her phone. And Mike calls, and he's like, "I'm on my way, babe." And she's like, "Okay." So he's driving this big truck up the hill and totally sideswipes the shit out of a car.
Yeah, exactly. And then and he's like, oh man. And she's like, yeah, whatever. And she's like just still on Snapchat or something.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, this looks by the way, Mike, come on.
Mike. He goes, I have such He's like, I have such a dope thing going on with her. She's like my best friend, and I can share my deepest, darkest secrets, but I'm taking it slow. I'm getting to know. What are you talking about? She's in your kitchen while you're not there. So at the very least, she has keys. That's not slow.
This is, by the way, when Mike revealed his like hot interview look. And I was like, don't be hot right now. Don't be hot. I'm trying to get annoyed at you.
Did you see what part of town they were in? Because I'm trying to figure it out. Because he said...
you know, I thought about it. I thought about looking at the signs and Googling. And I was like, I can't. I can't devote this energy to it. I can't devote energy into where Morgan might be at any given time in history.
But they showed the sign when they were feeding the homeless, or when they were feeding the homeless blankets. But I couldn't tell where that. It was.
Yeah, open up. I've got blankets
for
you.
It's delicious. Just put a little tzatziki on it. So Mike's like, my block is full of million-dollar homes, you know? But right down the block from me are tents. So I'm giving them blankets myself. Okay, I think this is fishy. I'm not sure what's in those boxes, but I think Mike has some new, like, fishy business. And no one's going to ever know if I'm right or wrong. For like a few years. We have to wait till it pans out. Okay. But I want you fishy guys blankets. To remember I said this. Those okay. boxes are fishy. There's something going on.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what's really fishy about those boxes is that we see him stack them all up, and then he drives to like the distribution place, and they open up the back, and they've like sort of like fallen over a little bit, and Morgan goes, "They all shifted." I don't know why it cracked me up, like this like salient observation from Morgan.
I'm really happy for Morgan. Like, I'm happy that she's here. I think she's gonna be really funny. I think
she will be funny, and I appreciated that she bled all over the boxes.
Yeah, and he's like, "Oh my god, are you bleeding?" She's like, happens.
You know, stigmata. It happens. He's like, whoa.
So this is like a housewife scene where they're all going to be charitable for 5 minutes. Yeah. So they do that. And Mike's like, you know, Gigi and MJ, like, they can't distract us with their fighting. Okay. This is only for the real people, for the real charity. Okay, Mike.
Yeah. I'm sure everyone involved in the scene has seen things much worse than MJ and Gigi fighting, you know.
So Gigi shows up at some mansion, and it turns out to be that Zen place.
By the way, I'm so ashamed at ourselves that we had an entire scene in Skid Row. We didn't even sing Little Shop of Horrors. I mean, that just shows what this show can do to us.
Well, listen, Skid Row and Little Shop of Horrors is way more adorable than real Skid Row. Okay? I don't want to sing anything but get me the fuck out of here when I'm in the real Skid Row, okay?
Alarm goes off at 7, and Mike has sideswiped my car.
Someone tried to feed me a blanket, and a baby shoe was on my thumb.
Sing it, sister.
Dude, it's 5 p.m. and we can go
down the block.
down the block. Where Morgan's bleeding down the block, where Reza's chopping down a tree.
Are we gonna have a baby?
God, shut up! We're feeding the homeless.
Are you feeding babies?
No!
Poor. All my life, I've always been poor. I keep asking God what I'm for.
And he says, tells me, sweep Reza's floor. You're never having a baby. Oh,
sweep that floor, Adam.
Oh, guys. Okay, so charity.
Yay. Once a month, we're going to do a different version of that song. So, Meditation Garden, not featuring David Sunshine.
Yeah, meditation garden. And, you know, it is always best to meditate outside a mansion. I mean, that's really where you feel most peaceful.
Yeah, I agree.
Or a Chick-fil-A, you know, so wherever you're more comfortable.
MJ decides to make a layover in the garden en route to her future safari, wherever she's headed.
I wrote, she looks like the guy in Curious George.
She looks like she's auditioning to be Crocodile Hunter. But like a lazy version. She's like, just sits in a chair. It's like, I think there's a crocodile over there, guys.
And the way she's walking down the stairs because she can't move in that outfit, it's like, step, 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 step. She's like teetering down the stairs.
Yeah, she's not. And you know, she'd never get close to any animal if she were doing Crocodile Hunter, because Vita would be like, why you do that? What? No. Look, MJ, you're getting too close to it. No.
You are too good for this alligator, MJ. Okay?
Oh, you know, teach me about alligator? You know, you know, tell me about alligator?
Wait until you see the new Vita.
Oh, my God.
She is hilarious. She's all positive now. It's so funny.
don't
She's like
it.
Taking cooking classes with Tommy. It's amazing. Okay, well, so, I mean, she's still horrible to MJ, though, so it's working. So anyway, they're at this meditation center, and Gigi's there first, and she's sitting there watching MJ teeter down the stairs. And she's like, babe, why don't you take a seat in the world's most uncomfortable chair? She's like, okay, I'm trying. <It's> like...
I believe the most uncomfortable chair is probably at Mike's house, where he probably found some like wire hanger that has been repurposed into like an alleged chair. Dude, it's so cool. I've invested all my money into it. I'm going to sell these all over.
So Gigi just looks at her because Gigi's ready to cut, you know?
Yeah.
So she's like, how you been? And MJ goes, ups, downs.
Aside from the staircase.
I don't know why that made me laugh so hard. So Gigi's like, even though she hurt me, there was a friendship and love before the hurt. And right now, we could use some positive energy, okay? So it's good that we're in a meditation garden. So yeah. They just stare at each other, waiting for one to apologize.
And we did get a wonderful flashback of MJ and Gigi playing ping pong against Vita, which is always, it's always important to remember that scene. Yeah, they're basically, you know, they do the usual thing of like, listen, I have great love for you. Do you feel that way for me? And Gigi's like, oh yeah, I do. It's like, okay, so now that we know that, let's start fighting. So basically MJ's like, you know, I didn't like the shade that you gave me, because I guess then we see a flashback. I guess, did this happen in Big Bear, where Gigi said to MJ, how do you feel about having a maid of honor that has his dick inside of you? Which I guess is a reference to Reza.
Yeah, to Reza, yeah.
So then that's why MJ, I guess, did all that shady stuff that we saw that you told me about as a retaliation. And
yeah,
Gigi's like,
just trying to make Gigi go crazy.
Yeah, and Gigi's like, you know what? I get ugly, but you get nasty. I'm like, I think you guys are pretty much both like just down in the mud. Like,
yeah, you're just... both girls, stop fighting. You're both petty.
Yeah.
You're both horrible. And then she goes into a rage. Because MJ's way of taking responsibility, Gigi's like, why would you go so low to hurt me? And then MJ just gets this really confused look on her face. And then she goes, but your husband's past is your husband's past. What's the big deal? And she's like, I'm not doing that. Stepping up my husband. And, you know, Gigi starts going into her rage. And she goes, you know, everything you do in the next year, I'm going to shit all over it. And then she starts taking off leaves and throwing them in MJ's face. And she's like, oh, parts of it.
Like, it starts here with these flower petals. Take the flower petals. Yeah, flower buds. And MJ's just like on her phone, like, how about you take off your ring? MJ is actually like, she's barely suppressing her laughter, which meant that either she thought this was ridiculous or this entire scene was fake. But either way,
or she finally got a decent prescription to Xanax.
Yeah. So finally, after she's had like three geraniums like thrown at her face, she's just like, you know what? We both hurt each other. Like, you know, like I do something that I think is funny, and you're like, oh, but it hurt me. And then you do something and that you think is funny, but I'm like, it hurt me. So how about next time when we do something, we'll pull each other to the side and be like, hey, that hurt me.
Yeah.
I'm like, good luck with that. We'll see how that works out.
And MJ's like, we're like sisters. And Gigi goes, are we sisters? Because I would never put my sister in that position. Do you remember threatening to stab your sister in the eye?
Yeah.
You would. You totally like would. Speaking of, have you spoken to your sister? When was the last time?
I don't think being Gigi's sister is an enviable aspiration.
That's not the goal, okay?
Yeah. So yeah, so then ultimately that, you know, MJ's like, I just love that crazy bitch. And yeah. And then like the ultimate peace offering is, so Gigi, maybe we should get some electrolysis for your sideburns. She's like, oh.
She's like, you need to wax that shit. And then she's like, are they that bad? Can we like French braid them? I'm like, these people are fucking crazy. They're nuts.
They are crazy. But you know what's funny is that like I didn't think that the episode was so great, but gosh, I had a really fun time talking about it.
Yeah, it was fun talking about. Oh my but god, you know pneumonia. That's gonna kill me for the whole season.
So before we wrap up the episode, it is our last episode of the week. So let's do like a quick Crabbin's mailbag, shall
we? Let's do her. Ding dong, ding dong.
Did you hear the music or no?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, good. Oh, it's going again. Look at that.
Oh, I forgot. Double mailbag.
No, only one time, mailbag. I forgot I put on repeat once. So, the Crappens mail. Tell everyone what the Crappens mailbag is.
The Crappens mailbag is where you guys write us mail. When you put it in a bag, we pull it out, we read it, and we answer your questions. It's a Patreon level. If you want to do it, go over to Patreon and sign up at that Patreon level. And thank you to everybody. You know, you've really changed our lives with this Patreon. I'm not waiting tables, and I'm so happy. So, thank you so much for that.
And I'm not driving Uber or having to write freelance reviews of rehab facilities.
And we know that we're not doing that because of you, okay?
Yeah.
So don't think that we don't know. We love you.
Yeah,
thank you.
We're very, very appreciative, truly. So the first question, this comes from Kelly Pafer, who says, hi, guys. Something about Ronnie Solo Roni shows led me to this hypothetical question. Each of you are given the opportunity to do a serial / S-Town style limited series about a Bravo mystery. You'll be provided with a team of researchers to dive in and try to find the real story. What topic would you choose? The first one I can think of offhand is, did Kyle really steal Kim's house? And if so, how? And I'd love to hear your picks. Looking forward to seeing you in New York City this October.
Well, first of all, I am working on something like that at my house, but it doesn't involve housewives. But it is like a little serial type thing. If it was a housewives mystery, which is actually a really good idea, I think I would do it a documentary on Taylor and Russell Armstrong.
Oof, whoa.
It's an incredibly dark chapter in the Bravo history, but that's back when we started recapping when that was all going on. And, you know, I just figured it's just another podcast. Nobody's ever going to hear this. And some of the things that came out of my mouth were pretty vile. But a lot that was going on at that time that was coming out on the blogs was just so shady. Like, Taylor was changing her names, and then they were, like, con artists, and they kept, like, conning people together, like, in a pair. And it was hard to tell what parts of that were true and false. And then there was the abuse stuff, obviously, which is so dark and horrible. And then there was, when he died, there was talk that there was Russian mobsters involved because he had some shady Russian dealings. And then Scott, the guy from Ladies of London,
I was about to say,
girl's husband he wasn't killed that way. Wasn't he thrown off a balcony or something?
Yeah, but he like owed money to the mob. It was like,
yeah, they were in some similar circles. That's always been really shady to me. I've never been able to connect all those dots, but I think that that's a really juicy story, all of that.
Yeah. It's also funny because I also am doing a little side project, but I can't really talk about it yet because I just can't talk about it yet. But also about sort of investigations in this sort of world, I should say, but not about Taylor and Russell. So it is funny as well.
Excuse me, are we both doing investigation shows on the side?
I think we both are.
What
the
hell? I told you mine first. You can't do
it. No, but mine's different than yours. Yours is, if I remember correctly what yours is.
Don't you tell me.
I'm not going to say, but I'm saying mine's different.
Okay.
Mine wasn't even my idea. I was brought onto something.
Oh.
So it wasn't even, I couldn't have
even
stolen it.
Kill them too. Kill all of them.
No, but mine is, the one that I'm on is like a, well, you'll see. Hopefully you'll see, but we did the first step, whatever. So the point is, if I were to do a Bravo mystery, a serial mystery type thing, I think, you know, I mean, I might as well just like double down on what I said on the New York episode. I would do it on what really happened between Luann and Dorinda on that phone call about whether or not John was invited to the cabaret.
Yeah, that's a good one. I don't know that you could ever really get to the bottom of that either. And it seems like a smaller mystery, but I don't know that there is a bottom to that, because they both really are good at sticking to their own delusional stories.
You know, I think there's also an investigation that would be worthwhile into looking at what happened in the Dominican Republic when there was a giant brawl with the Real Housewives of New Jersey, a brawl so big it never aired and led to multiple lawsuits. I would like to get involved with that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was good.
I feel like there's
the Manso boys throwing chickens at people. I mean, that was a crazy one.
Yeah. What about Thomas Ravenel? He's one big serial investigation.
He's so obvious, though. It's like he sold coke. Like, yeah. I mean, he got tons of coke for his friends.
Here's
and was
one.
Selling it to them, and, like, you know, he's obvious.
Here's one. Was that one girl, was the boring girl on Gallery Girls, was she secretly an escort?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. She was a concierge on the side. Is that code?
High-end concierge?
You know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm still from the time where you just say ho. You know, you just look up ho, and you find a ho. Like,
so the one more question. Alejandro M. says, if the Roni cast, past and present, were in the movie Clue, who is each character? What are the motives? Who dies and who done it? Speaking of Clue.
If who died?
Well, it's who died. If the Roni cast, past and present, everyone who's been on Roni, potentially, who, if they were in the movie Clue, if we recast the movie Clue with people who were on Real Housewives of New York. Who is each character? What are the motives? Who dies and who done it? I feel like Jules probably dies. Jules Weinstein.
Okay, yeah, Jules dies.
She seems like the type that would probably get knocked off.
Well, but in the movie Clue, okay, we have to think, because the one who dies in the movie is the one who had all the gossip on the people, right?
Mr. Body?
Yeah. But then I feel like we're going to give spoilers away to people who haven't seen Clue. Well, see Clue already, okay?
See Clue. Well, I mean, the thing is, I mean, first of all, like, the Real Housewives kind of already gotten into their, they already got into their murder mystery, you know, personas. So all of them, they would be there. they'd all be there investigating. Maybe Simon. Maybe Simon would be the corpse.
Okay, yeah. Simon would be the corpse. Oh, yeah, because everybody wants to kill Simon. So, yeah, who's that would
butler?
Make a good movie.
Or maybe
well,
Brad.
Tim Conway was really great. No, let's keep it Simon is the dead one. Okay. I think that the butler is tricky because that is a brilliant actor.
Kelly Ben Simone. You're mad. You're sad. You're mad. You're sad. You're mad. You're sad.
Yeah. Okay, so Kelly Ben Simone is him.
It's Tim Curry. We are so rude to Tim Curry. How could we?
Well, what other brilliant actor would there be to be Tim Curry? I mean,
I think it's less about being a brilliant actor and more about, do you have a butler persona? And I think Cindy Barshop could do that.
Yeah. Yeah, Cindy Barshop. Okay.
She shows up because she'd be like, really?
Yeah, she'd be like, this is stupid.
This is stupid.
Mrs. Peacock, I think, would be Carol. But she'd be like a really slow version of Mrs. Peacock, you know, because Mrs. Peacock was always like trying to be really fashionable, but she looked super stupid. And then she was always talking about stuff that no one cared about.
Miss Scarlet would be
Sonia.
Yeah, that's,
I mean, basically right.
Mrs. White was the maid, right? So that would be like Kristen Takeman or something.
Okay. Well, who is Madeline Kahn? Wasn't she Mrs.
White? I thought
White?
She was Miss Scarlet. Was she?
No, Mrs. Scarlet is Leslie Ann Warren.
You're right.
And Mrs. White, I believe, was so Madeline
it's hard
Kahn.
It's hard for me. I get everything mixed up because growing up, my copy of Clue was an edition where all the characters, they were actors, and there were photos of them. And it wasn't like drawings. So,
I'm talking about the movie Clue.
No, I know, but I'm getting them all mixed up, even though the pictures weren't famous people. Like, in my board game of Clue, Mrs. White was like a maid in like a little bonnet, like holding a candlestick, looking like sketchy. So in my mind, I'm like, oh, well, the maid in the movie was probably Mrs. White, but that's not true.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see here. I think White in this is Mrs. White is Madeline Kahn. I think this would be Bethany.
Yes. Flames on the side of my face. Like, seriously, flames on the side of my face. Like, I hated her that much, okay? I hate her so much. Flames on the side of my face, okay?
Yeah.
Men are like tissue, soft, strong, and disposable, all right? Get rid of them.
I feel like Luann is Colonel Mustard.
Right? Yes.
Luann's definitely Colonel Mustard. Not only because he's titled, but, like, there is something, like, Martin Mull about her, right? Like, oh, God.
What? And Yvette was the maid. She was like the sexy maid.
Singing Telegram is Jules Weinstein.
Yeah, the singing Telegram is Jules.
No, Kristen Takeman.
Okay, yeah, either one.
Bang.
But I'm outside the box, bang.
I don't remember who played like Mr. Green and
Mr. Green was Michael McKean.
Oh.
So he would be. Who do we have left in the Real Housewives of New McCourty. York? Well, who's Dorinda then? I guess Dorinda could also play. I think Dorinda and
Ramona. Who's Ramona?
Oh my God, Ramona's too annoying to even be in this.
She's like a chandelier.
Yeah.
Ramona's like one of those like secret passages where like the wall swivels around. Whoa!
Thought it was a bookcase, but I'm really a door.
Michael McKean. So I feel like Michael McKean. I'm getting like that's a little Carol Radziwill, actually. You already gave Carol Radziwill someone.
Yeah, she's Mrs. Peacock. But I'm thinking that you could. I'm thinking you could move Carol over to Mr. Green, and then Dorinda can take over Mrs. Peacock.
Yes, yes.
Because Mrs. Peacock, remember how she's like all nice, and then she goes. She's too crazy. Like, she gets so angry. Yes.
Who's Professor Plum?
Professor Plum is Christopher Lloyd.
Oh, that's Dorinda. Boy. It's Christopher Lloyd. Maybe Jill Zarin is.
Oh, my God. Do not cast Jill Zarin in Clue. Okay. Clue is one of my favorite movies forever. Jill cannot be in it. Okay? No, Jill. Get out of my movie.
Alex McCord. Could we get... Heather Thompson could totally be... Heather Thompson could be Mr. Green. And then Carol's back to Mrs. Peacock.
Oh, my God. We got to commit to this cast. Okay?
No, it's almost all in place.
This is supposed to go into shooting soon.
I think it's all in place. Okay?
Yeah. I think we've cast everybody.
Okay, let's review. Okay, Singing Telegram is Kristen Takeman. Okay. Mrs. Peacock is Dorinda.
Carol.
Is Carol.
Wadsworth is the Vajazzle lady.
Yes.
Mrs.
Yes.
White is Bethany.
Mm-hmm.
Professor Plum
Dorinda.
Is Dorinda.
Colonel Mustard is Luann.
Mr. Green is, I forgot.
Heather Thompson.
Miss Scarlet is Sonia. Yvette the sexy maid is, I think that would be Heather Takeman. Did we already cast her?
No. Kelly Bensimone would probably be the sexy maid. Wait, but what about that? There's like that burly chef.
Aviva? Yes, Aviva Drescher. And then Kristen Takeman was the singing Telegram girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Done. Oh my God. That was a lot of work, mailbag.
That was hard, but it was really, it felt like it was really worth it. Ooh. Those were like, that was fun. All right, well, let's close it up.
Everybody, thank you so much for being here. We sure love you. We will see you next week. And for those of you coming to live shows, we'll see you in West Palm on Thursday night and Atlanta. We will see you for two shows on Saturday. Love you guys.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
This summer,
Take yourself to a different place with Audible's Summer Listens, like Ruby Wax's eye-opening yet funny How to Be Human, the manual, published by Penguin.
After living and breathing for what seems like eternity with the monk and the neuroscientist, it feels like we're an old married threesome. We harangue, nag, but our relationship continues to flourish because we can make each other hysterical. I might say to the monk, that's way too Buddhist sounding. I don't even want to hear another bee out of your mouth tonight. And he'll flip me back a, that's 2,000 years of wisdom, sweetheart. Swallow it. At one point, we were even thinking of writing another book, combining our separate wisdoms called Act Like a Buddha, Think Like a Jew. When the neuroscientist starts cocking his high IQ feathers at us, the monk and I will tell him to start speaking human tongue or we'll cut him out of the book. I've been squeezing these guys dry for more than a year, leaving them empty and exhausted. But I got a book out of them, and that's all that counts.
Audible's Summer Listens. Choose from the world's largest selection of audiobooks and listen to your first one for free. £7.99 a month after 30-day free trial. Renews automatically. See audible.co.uk for details.